Welcome to worship today, friends. You are most welcome here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. God calls us forth this morning to this place of worship. We are called into the light and hope of God's love. Let us open our hearts, our minds, and our deepest being to God. Let us worship God, who surrounds us, uplifts us, and upholds us with boundless grace and love forever. And in his love, we recognize the light of Jesus. Let's light our Christ candle. If you have one at home, please light it with me. Let's pray together. You touch our lives, God, in many ways. You raise us up when we feel discouraged. You ground us when we are flighty and on edge. You inspire us when we have lost a sense of who we are. You accompany us in the many and varied journeys we take day by day. Be with us in this time of worship and give us the direction we need to face the future with hope and energy. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we come to a time of confession to declare our brokenness before God and hold it up to the light of his mercy. Merciful God, we confess that we have failed to emulate your justice in our dealings with others, much less your graciousness, and that we have sown ill will, contempt, hatred, and discord as a result. Forgive us, we pray, and inspire us by the mercy and forgiveness that you have shown to us in Christ Jesus, to deal not just honestly and fairly, but generously and charitably after the example of Christ Jesus, who taught love for enemies and forgave even his tormentors. In his name and spirit we pray. Amen.
Family of faith, if you ever ask yourself, can anything good come from this messy and human life of mine? Remember this, God is always whispering yes. You were created in the image of God. Your origin story is one of goodness and love from the very beginning. So hear and believe the good news of the gospel. God is here. God is at work among us. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior came that way, he looked up in the tree. He said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today." Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Like me, you may remember singing that song in Sunday school when you were young. And we had no idea who Zacchaeus was, but we loved getting to sing a song about a short guy, for we weren't bullying anyone exactly, and we were children, so we were all short. And Zacchaeus must have been remarkably short for Luke to have written down that detail about him. It seems Zacchaeus was a first century scapegoat, the guy everybody got to pick on, and that may be why he became a tax collector for the Roman Empire. As a tax collector for Caesar, he finally got some respect, even if it was a grudging kind of respect. People detested paying Roman taxes, but Zacchaeus had the soldiers of Rome to back him up, so no one was going to bully him or beat him up when he came around to collect his taxes, because he could send in the henchmen. And tax collectors back then had a reputation for collecting a sizable amount of what they collected. It was one of the perks of the job, after all, to add on a hefty surtax for yourself. So when Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house for lunch that day, which was pretty hard for the townspeople to watch Jesus do, Zacchaeus piped right up, saying he never cheated folks, and if he had, he would repay them by fourfold. And he said he tithed 40% of what he earned. And you know what? Jesus believed him. Jesus said salvation has come to his house. Next Sunday, we celebrate our saints, All Saints Sunday. And while Zacchaeus was not an official saint, he shared some of the same traits. Author Nancy Rockwell writes that saints are people who are windows in this world, and the light of God shines through them so brightly. The people say they have seen salvation in them and in the household of their lives. And a remarkable thing about our saints is that many, like Zacchaeus, were scapegoats early in their lives, unfairly blamed for the misdeeds of others, bullied and called contemptible by folks around them. Nancy Rockwell has put together a who's who list of saints, and in spite of how they were viewed in their communities, they became windows through which the light of God shone through. Here are some of those that made Nancy's list of who's who, and please remember them next Sunday. St. Francis of Assisi's father dragged him into court in the town square, enraged because his son had secretly arranged to steal his father's valuable assets, stolen them, given them to monks to sell for support of the poor. He was found guilty. And then St. Francis of Assisi's, as a monk himself, angered the local bishops by creating his own church liturgy and including animals in his congregation. St. Teresa of Avila was considered a nut and way too outspoken for a woman, and shocking in her opinions. Giuliani of Norwich lost her entire family to the plague and had visions so extraordinary no one knew what to make of them. Mother Teresa, who we likely all know about, expressed her strong doubts about God in writing, became a nun to escape life in her small town in Skopje, Macedonia. And Oskar Schindler, who saved Jews from death in World War II Germany, was a Nazi, a womanizer, and a drunk, who used his popularity and deserved reputation as a scoundrel as a cover for what he was doing, saving the Jews. And Nelson Mandela was considered a public enemy by the government of South Africa, which put him in jail for 27 years, during all of which he was a beacon of hope for black South Africans. Like Zacchaeus, these saints and so many others flouted public conventions in ways that were painful for them, but also allowed them to let God's light shine into the world. And in the Bible, Jesus shines a favorable light on people most folks found repulsive. Lost sheep, prodigal sons, lame, the leper, the dishonest steward, repugnant poor man covered with sores. And here at our services over the past few weeks, we have heard Jesus' stories about a woman with only two coins to her name, a foreign woman with a sick daughter, which he healed, a woman bent over for 18 years, and today's dislikable tax collector, Zacchaeus. And Jesus would ask us, urge us to look into them and discover their saintly light. Most of us, including myself, prefer our saints to be heroic. We tell ourselves that athletes like Toronto Blue Jays' George Springer can be our heroes. So can decorated soldiers, TV and movie stars, the beautiful and the well-dressed, all of which are polar opposites of those who actually achieved sainthood. Well-educated South African whites, warning us that Nelson Mandela was dangerous, he was alarming to white Christians. Mother Teresa's honest writings alarmed many devout Catholics. St. Francis of Assisi in his lifetime was alarming to the bishops. What Jesus treasured in the despised was an ability to hang on, to survive with a part of their own humanity intact, despite the way they were treated by the world. And their raw, unfettered humanity becomes their shining light. Their humanity becomes the window of their soul and lights the pathway for us to follow. In Jesus choosing those who have been despised, Jesus is teaching that the saints are not among us to show us the way into an easy and comfortable life. They are here to show us how to keep going in deep darkness, how to survive bullying, and how to have hope in mean times. In his book, Ojibwe writer Richard Wagamese writes of what I call the path to sainthood. You can't test your courage timidly. You have to run through the fire, arms waving, legs pumping, and heart beating wildly with the effort of reclaiming something vital, lost, laid aside, or just plain forgotten. When you do that, you discover that we shine most brightly in community, the whole bedraggled, worn, frayed, and tattered lot of us, bound together forever by a shared courage, a family forged in the heat of earnest struggle. May our dance of life be a window through which we share that same good news. Share it in loving ways that shine light on the world and light the path forward, showing each other how to keep going in deep darkness, how to carry hope in these mean times. There exists, I believe, an inherited wee piece of saltiness and a wee bit of our saintliness in each one of us, in each one of God's children, called to be saints and salty. As such, we are lovingly created to weather our storms, held glued together and fortified by our relationships with each other, called to share the good news of a loving, merciful God, shared and made known to us through our relationship with the passionate and caring Jesus Christ. May we continue to serve God and continue to build God's church, surrounded by the despised and the saintly, those who have gone before us, those who will come after us. The saints who this very day rest beside us, behind us, in front of us, and within us. Thanks be to God for the saints of the world. Thanks be to God for our own lives. Amen.
For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Their rock, their fortress, and their might. Thou, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. Thou, in the darkness, drear their one true light. Alleluia. Alleluia.
About a dozen years ago or so, there was a singing group called All Sons and Daughters. They had a song called All the Poor and Powerless. All the poor and powerless, and all the lost and lonely, and all the thieves will come confess and know that you are holy, will know that you are holy. And all the hearts who are content, and all who feel unworthy, and all who hurt with nothing left will know that you are holy. And all will sing out hallelujah, and we will cry out hallelujah. Will you pray with me? There will be some silences. O holy and compassionate God, you have called us, and we gather here to offer our gratitude, our worship, our hallelujahs. The hallelujahs sung with joyful hearts from hearts content. The hallelujahs we cry out, often with tears. The hallelujahs barely whispered in grief or pain. The cold and broken hallelujahs, as one of our beloved poets has said, we dare to bring them all. Thank you, O God of love, for this beautiful place we call home. We are in awe of your handiwork. Thank you for the peace and freedom we have. May we never take this for granted. We pray for wisdom, courage, and compassion for all the leaders of the world. Oh, dear God, will you soften the hard hearts and heal the broken ones? Grant us grace to pray for those for whom we struggle to pray. I pray for the leaders here at St. Stephen's. We thank you for faithful leadership over many years, our ministers, our board, our staff. Thank you for Phil and Diane. We pray for Reverend Kelly during this transition time, and we pray for Reverend Robin as he prepares to come. We pray for all of us during this waiting and transmission time. I pray for the work and ministry of St. Stephen's. May we ever follow Jesus in it all. Today, I pray for the community meals ministry in particular. Thank you for the many years that so many of us have been able to come alongside you in this work, your work. Thank you for the many, many guests that have come through our doors, not one forgotten by you. Thank you for providing so abundantly. And I pray for any who might feel a stirring towards this work. I pray for those among us who are ill or grieving, those who require care, and those who are caregivers, those who suffer distress or pain of any kind, those who are unhappy or experiencing anxiety. We hold them close in our hearts, knowing that you, dear Jesus, hold them even closer. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love. Thank you for coming and living and dying and rising again at such a cost for us. We await your return. Hallelujah. And now this prayer taught to us by Jesus, these marvelous words which have so comforted and challenged the people of God for centuries, the wonder that we can pray, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah.
Friends, thank you for all the ways that you give to the work of God here at St. Stephen's, for all the gifts that you send in or bring in. Thank you. They really do make a difference. And I ask you now to pray with me over all the gifts that have been given this week. O God, we, your people, present these tithes and offerings that they may be a blessing to others. Accept them, we pray, and with them ourselves as living sacrifice to be used in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In the name of the one who calls, the one who sends, and the one who journeys with, go in peace and be not afraid. You are called, you are loved, you are enough. Amen.
Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in.